plagued a potential nugget.
Prakash, thanks for your time. Excited to be talking to you.
My pleasure entirely. Good to be here.
Before we dive in, Prakash, would love to get a sense of what your pie chart, again, pun intended, looks like. What all do you do, and give us a sense of what your day looks like.
What all do I do? Essentially, I have lots of fun.
Okay.
And on a more serious level, perhaps try and help other people become as good as they can be. Uh-huh. And what that often entails is, you know, maybe three or four things. So I'm a leadership coach. So I work with individuals and teams around coaching. I do a fair bit of speaking, mm-hmm. motivational sessions, keynotes, around leadership, teams, winning. Mm-hmm. And that's something I enjoy. I love a lot. I try and write a bit. So just done with a third book and hopefully another one. It's always in the works. So there's hopefully another one coming out soon too.
Wow. You mean two in the bag and two more to go, or one more to go?
Two in the bag, three this month.
Okay.
Hopefully lots more to go.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
True.
So there are ideas buzzing in my head all the time. And I'm thinking, hey, I would love to write a lot more. And it's something I enjoy. So I'd certainly like to write a lot more. I also do some advisory work with a private equity fund.
Got it.
That broadly covers the spectrum of what I do.
Got it. Again, maybe a good place to start, Prakash, is you're an alumnus of IMA as well. And you were in a corporate career for a while. At some stage, you moved on and you've gotten into this portfolio life. Give us a sense of why you do what you do and how you got here.
I guess why I do what I do, I just enjoy doing what I'm doing right now.
Uh-huh.
It gives me a great thrill. You know, when I wrote my first book, this was 2010.
This was The Habit of Winning.
It was The Habit of Winning. That's right. I don't think there are too many other things in my life that would have compared with the sense of joy that I felt mm-hmm. when I held that book in my hand. And you know, the interesting bit is that that book could have been a dud. It could have, no one may have read it, or people may have read it and panned it, yet for that moment, I felt very good. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when the book did well, it kind of changed a lot of things for me. I really enjoyed that bit. And I enjoy speaking to people. This gives me my high, as it were. And therefore, that's really why I do what I'm doing. And I think it's a sense of saying that I enjoy it. I'm passionate about it. I think I can do it reasonably well.
Sure.
I may not be terrific at it, but I'm reasonably good at it, I think. And that gives me a sweet spot in that sense. So say I'm doing what I like. I think I'm doing something I can do reasonably well. And hey, if it all means I can make a difference, kind of works well for me.
Lovely. And just going back to that moment where you spoke about writing the book and holding a copy in hand, was that when you were pursuing your career, or you sort of moved on and then sat down and wrote the book?
No, so I was very much in a career when I wrote the book.
Okay.
I must tell you this, that, you know, every year I write my list of things to do for the year.
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those things that I still have a lot of the older versions of my wish list. And
it's impressive that you're tracking it. Most of the times it's...
What is impressive is I'm tracking it. What is not so impressive is that many of them are still work in progress.
Got it.
So, you know, having a golf handicap under 16, still work in progress. Having a waist size back to 32, still work in progress. But that hasn't taken away from the fact that there were things there which have come good.
Mm-hmm.
And writing a book has certainly been one of those things which has been on that list for a while. And then I started blogging, mm-hmm. and really that blog then paved the way for the book.
Mm.
And like I said, it's been one of the better things that I might have done in this.
And just building on that, Prakash, I talked to a lot of people who've decided to move away from a corporate life, which is aligning yourself with one company and building your career there as a platform, versus people who've cobbled together a portfolio of different things. For example, you do a combination of speaking, writing, coaching, and a bunch of other things. What's been that journey like? It's been how many years now? It's been 6 years of this sort of portfolio life, if I may call it.
No, less. 3 years now.
3 years?
3 years.
So again, any wisdom, any insights on what this journey looks like, what the highs and lows are for people at the cusp of making the decision?
I think the first bit would have to be the fact that you've got to enjoy what you're doing and not constantly look at what that other world or the other life might look like. So if I was to be honest, I spent 30 years in a regular corporate job, but pretty much loved every moment of it.
Sure.
I don't think there were too many times in my life where I felt like, hey, why am I doing this? And I want to be doing something else. I don't think that's how it was.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the driving force was different. So, you know, when I went to work in my early days, I guess there was a pure commercial reason. You had to put food on the table. You know, you had a wife to look after, kids to kind of bring up. So you needed money. And a good corporate job, I think, took care of that. But I think I also learned a hell of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stories that I now tell, a lot of the lessons that I now share, I think come out of the years that I might have spent at work.
Sure.
So I don't think it's a case of saying that I was always longing to do sure. this new thing. I think I kind of worked towards it. I had spent 30 years working with teams and learning a hell of a lot, hopefully doing a little bit for the businesses that I might have been involved with. And that set me up, I think, for what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm building on it and clearly doing something that I really enjoy doing and think, wow, this is really what I want to do for the rest of my life.
And got it. And just to make it real, what are the lows in such a path, right? Again,
sure.
I've sort of embarked on this. It's been a year and I have my share of highs and lows. But mm-hmm. I'm curious about 3 years in, just to make it real, because I believe when people are at the point of transition, there's always the greener side of the grass is always painted with a lot of color.
Mm.
But the not so green side doesn't get spoken about as much. So if you were to be honest, what have the lows been like for you?
I think one of the clear challenges can be the fact that you don't actually get to work with a terrific bunch of people on a regular basis.
Right.
And therefore, that can be fairly stimulating while it's there.
Mm.
And when it goes away, it can become a bit of a challenge. So I certainly miss that.
Mm.
The fact that I might have had some fantastic conversations with colleagues and friends at work.
Right.
You still might meet interesting people. You might have something to, you know, you might have interesting conversations, but they're not quite the same level of intensity and depth
right.
as you might have had with a bunch of very bright colleagues. To be fair, working with bright colleagues also sharpens
sure.
all of us as individuals. And I
sure.
think that's something that I probably miss a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There are days when, you know, when you can probably start thinking, hey, what do you do? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And there could be days where you'll feel a bit down mm-hmm. and, you know, and that often coincides with that call that you'll get from another headhunter who says, you know, he thinks it's time for you to get back. But I think if you're clear about why you're doing what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and if you have the right reasons for doing it,
mm-hmm.
I think it can become fairly interesting in itself. There's something else that I think you need to probably have a good answer for, which is, you know, what do you do is a question that you get asked.
Hmm.
And I must confess, after 3 years, I still struggle with that a little bit.
Sort of the identity question, right?
The identity, yeah. And therefore, I think it's an important one that you've got to be willing to say that, you know, that whatever you say doesn't matter.
Hmm.
And whatever somebody else might think doesn't matter.
Right.
Because if it matters to you, then you're probably not ready to make that shift.
Very interesting.
So it might be a good idea for you to check. And I used to say this earlier that, are you willing to have a business card which doesn't have a company name on it? And, you know, many mm-hmm. of us grew up with, you know, being proud to quickly exchange cards on a flight. And the other person looked at it, then, you know, suddenly sat up and took renewed interest in who you were because of the name of that business that you represented.
Hmm.
I think it's a good idea to have to be able to say that you work for this unknown company called Prakash Iyer and Co.
Hmm.
And then what happens? Do people kind of still want to talk to you?
Fascinating. Actually, that sort of brings up the point around personal brand building. I want to get to that in a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of a couple of things here. One is something that I've heard the coach Marshall Goldsmith talk about a lot. He says that he makes a list of 5 or 6 things that are important to him that he needs to do every day. He then pays somebody to call him every day for 5 minutes at a predetermined time to quickly check whether Marshall had spent time on these 5 things or not. He talks about how this one act has significantly improved his effectiveness and has helped him focus on the critical but not urgent. Second is a point around the why behind the what, which Simon Sinek talks about a lot. I find that in a lot of ways that's the foundation on which you build your house, and the strength of the foundation often gives you the ability to weather all kinds of storms. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit audioboom.com and look for Play to Potential.